you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al's Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Reading, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, Kristen Schrader, the newest city council person from Reading, will join us, and let's find out what her plans are for the next 4 years, what she plans to do about unfunded liabilities, and, of course, the crime problem facing all of us. All of this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
We invite you to stay tuned for an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff coming your way. Aaron and Bill will be back with a live program next Sunday here on AM 1460. KCNR, coming up for the next 2 hours, a replay of We the People from September 28th of last year, featuring geologist, environmentalist, author, and retired energy industry executive Leighton Steward. The topic, there is no catastrophic global warming evidence. Stay tuned and enjoy this encore presentation of We the People next on AM 1460 KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Bill.
Mornings to everyone.
Good morning, Jackson. Good morning, Aaron.
Life's not good without Jackson Brown. So?
I think you should start every morning with Jackson Brown.
You didn't start my morning with Jackson Brown. I'd listen to something else. What was it?
You were listening to Mark Knopfler.
Mark Knopfler.
A little early morning light rock to wake up to.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. Hey, how are we doing? How are we doing with our guest, Bob?
I'm about to find out.
Okay, yeah. Well, go find out. We'll talk amongst ourselves.
Do we have him? I just got to find out how long he can stay with us.
There you go. So,
stand by.
All right. So,
Hopefully, we'll be talking about climate change today.
Of course.
Yeah.
Which actually would be fun. Mr. Steward is a geologist, an environmentalist, an author, and a retired energy industry executive. Easy for me to say. He's written about the reasons for the loss of much of the Mississippi River Delta, given advice on how the nation can achieve no net loss of wetlands in the future, advice that's been accepted by the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. Layton was the lead author in a book about nutrition and health. I was looking for him on Amazon, and they kept coming up with all this Sugar Buster stuff. And Yeah, he gave advice on how to lose weight and prevent or treat diabetes. The book became number one on the New York Times bestseller list for 16 weeks, made a significant contribution to the things that we do now regarding high fiber, low glycemic products, and some of the stuff we see in this. So all the stuff you eat.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's telling me why I shouldn't eat it.
Mr. Stewart's
I'm not going to read that article.
He's basically the boss of you.
I hate being told all the things I'm doing wrong.
I know.
It's such a long list.
But the best part about it is he's banding together with a bunch of scientists, a bunch of former NASA scientists and other people to get the correct information out there about climate change. And so they've called it the right climate stuff. And you can find that at, easily enough, therightclimatestuff.com. How are we doing, Bob? What's the plan? Oh, and by the way, join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we've got a chat room open. I'm going to find out about that here in 5 seconds. And you can ask questions there if you'd like. You can listen there. You can, you know, it always deteriorates into other topics for the multitaskers. I don't know why that is. You know, some people can't just listen. They're like listening, writing about other stuff. So however you like to
do it. If the show were on satellite radio, the audio would be what you see in the chat room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That would be scary. Okay, good thing we're not on.
If we had all the chatters in the studio.
Yeah, good thing we're not on that. So so what's happening over
there? I would say if we go ahead and take a quick break right now, Mr. Stewart will be ready to join us when we come back, and he's good for the full 2 hours.
Nice. So, yeah. Well, because, yeah, we looked at it and thought, gosh, we can't do an hour on climate change. That's craziness.
Well, we could, because look at the weather outside right now. Obviously, we're having climate change.
We are having climate change today. We have clouds.
We have clouds.
Okay, so take our next break now, and then this is great. Then we'll be able to talk to him for a long time. No breaks. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. We're broadcasting from KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta, Reading.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Everyone wants to get rich. Your chances just got better at Wind River Resort and Casino with more ways to win. Play our Super Prize Wheel Chance to Win $150,000 promotion. Swipe your free River Club card and you can win free slot play, free entries, and prizes. Plus, earn entries all month long to increase your chances to be a contestant in our Super Prize Wheel drawing. On Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m., three contestants go head-to-head to be an automatic contestant on Fridays for a chance to win $150,000 in our Jackpot Spins drawing. Joins at 7, 8 to 9 p.m. Every 200 points gets you an entry. Double entries on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's simple. Spin the reels on any slot machine or swipe your free River Club card daily for your chance to win $150,000 in our Super Prize Wheel Swipe to Win promotion. Over $10,000 in cash and free slot play guaranteed. Remember, more games, more ways to win, more fun at Wind River Resort and Casino. For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. It's better on the river.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
Once again, a reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff and special guest Layton Stewart
from September 28th of last year. If you hear phone numbers, don't call, but enjoy this encore presentation of We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
That's what we dream about. With all the
kooks?
No, the, you know, global warming people.
It's our one size fits all topics song.
It's true. All right. You've rejoined We the People Radio with Leighton Stewart. We are so looking forward to this show. We've been talking about it for a month. Mr. Stewart, are you in there?
Yes, sir.
Right on.
That's great.
Okay.
Good to have you.
So we've got...
Well, thank you. Happy to be on.
So you already talked to Bob, and I'm Aaron, and then we have Bill. So since we haven't actually met before, and we haven't chatted before, so we haven't messed up anything for our listeners because we don't know anything. It's all you.
Okay.
That is kind of frightening.
No pressure.
Let's get it on then.
No pressure.
Aaron and Bill. Great. I'm a geologist by background. I'm also an environmentalist. I've been in and out of environmentalism for most of my career. At one point in time, I was chairman of the National Wetlands Coalition when we were trying to figure out what was causing the loss of the Mississippi River Delta. And we did that and actually ended up recommending how Bush 41 could achieve no net loss of wetlands. The Corps of Engineers and the EPA picked up on that, actually put it in, and by about 1996, we had achieved no net loss of wetlands. So I've been dabbling in this for a long time. Once I retired, I got serious about the climate change issue because probably looking for something to do, and started a nonprofit called PlantsNeedCO2.org, and we have been just trying to educate the public about what the impact is of carbon dioxide on the earth, including climate change, but also the other things that carbon dioxide does to or for the earth. So that's what I've been up to lately. For my environmental efforts in the past, even the Environmental Protection Agency gave me an award for environmental excellence. I did work in the energy industry, and I don't think there are too many in my industry that got that particular award. So
I just
say this to tell you that I am environmentally sensitive so that people can couch their... you know, what they think of my information one way or another, and the fact that they are hearing it from somebody that does have an environmental track record. What I have determined after being in this for, I guess, going on 9 years now, is that what I started to do was to put a book together on the tremendous impact that carbon dioxide must have had on the Earth way back millions of years ago, because Earth's carbon dioxide level, which is only about 400 parts per million right now, at one time in the measurable past was about 7,000 parts per million, 7,500 million years ago versus 400 parts per million today.
Holy cow, we must have been like a desert back then.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. So I started looking into that and thought, well, listen, if I just found that out 9 years ago with a geological background, I bet a lot of my old buddies, guys and gals that were scientists and still had day jobs probably didn't know that either. So I started to write a book about the tremendous impact these high levels of CO2 had on Earth's climate. Well, what I found out was I was not getting any real peer-reviewed data out of the literature that really supported that. There were a lot of things being written, but when you really looked at their backup data, they were mostly based on these unvalidated climate model results. And I stress unvalidated because these climate models have a lot of assumptions in there that the authors of the models have to assume and put in there to make the thing complete so they could come out with some kind of a projection. Well, unvalidated models do not create scientific data. And, I mean, that's just the way science is. You have to look at either real observations of what's going on Earth, and in this case, relative to temperature and CO2 relationships, or you have to be able to run an experiment in a laboratory that proves what your hypothesis is. Well, that's where I started running into trouble, and I finally said, well, gee, if I can't prove that all these ultra-high levels of carbon dioxide were having a big impact on Earth's previous climates, maybe I'll walk on the other side of the table and say, can I find any information out there that says CO2 has not been having that much of an impact? And once I took that position, I started finding papers that had real data in them as opposed to unvalidated model projections, which, of course, the media loves because we humans tend to like to line up and watch television or listen to the radio every time some catastrophe is either happening or is even forecast to happen.
Well, why can't you I'm just a little confused here because I'm just a layman, but Well, now, if your scientific evidence didn't show the results you thought they would, and your models didn't show it, why can't you just, you know, skew the model information a little bit to make it show what you want? I mean, that's...
I think that's what they're doing.
I think that makes sense.
You can get any answer you want out of the model.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the whole problem.
It can either be conscious or even unconscious by the modeler. If the modeler thinks that he already knows the answer, he will run that model and he'll move these assumptions in and out of the model until all of a sudden he finds and he says, ah, here it is. This set of data will prove that man-made carbon dioxide is the big driver of Earth's climate.
And that's what we're going to run with.
Yep, and that's what we're going to run with. Or it might be the funding source. And International Panel on Climate Change, which is really more of a political organization than a scientific organization, it's what we all refer to as the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, really was trying to prove that man-made CO2 is having a significant and negative impact on Earth's climate. And so that's what the modelers chased. Our previous vice president, Mr. Gore, back in the very early 90s, started moving monetary funds from the government into these institutions that were trying to find the impact of man-made carbon dioxide, and what he was really looking for was the negative impact of carbon dioxide. The money should have been spent on the simple question, what is causing climate change, as opposed to just presupposing that CO2 was really the problem. But when you really get to looking at it and the makeup of the International Panel on Climate Change, you find out that of the 192 countries that are in that, 172 of them are the developing countries. And those 172, per some of these groups that have gotten together, Kyoto, things like that, would cause the 20 that are developed to be paying these other 172 countries millions and millions of dollars per year because we have fouled their atmosphere with carbon dioxide ever since the Industrial Revolution back in 150 years ago. Well, I hope I can give you a little bit of information that'll make you rethink that and think, do we really need to be paying these countries for having put the best airborne fertilizer that exists into the atmosphere for 150 years that have made their crops grow much more robustly, giving them more food to eat, et cetera? And to me, that's how dumb this is relative to looking at it in any kind of a logical fashion.
So the evidence that they're basing everything on pretty much comes solely from computer models.
Yes, sir. Okay. Let me say it another way. Real observations and laboratory experiments and things like that generate empirical evidence. We know what the temperature was last week. We know what the CO2 level was last week. We also know that 1,000 years ago, 10 million years ago, 100 million years ago, farther back you go, the less accurate it is, but at least it is directionally correct. It may not be precise down to the degree or precise down to the 10 parts per million, but at least it's directionally correct. So I will make the statement, and I've made it several times, and I haven't had anybody really come and challenge me on it, to say that the warmest alarmists, I'll call them, do not have any empirical evidence to back up their hypothesis that man-made carbon dioxide is the major driver of climate change. And like I say, haven't gotten challenged on that. I've heard other scientists that are much more pedigreed than I that have said the same thing and not gotten challenged on it. In fact, Dr. Fred Singer, who was the founder of the U.S. Satellite Service, or one of the co-founders of it, director of the Satellite Service, I should say, was in a debate up at Purdue 3 years ago or so, and he was debating a couple of, I will call them warmest alarmists, one from Woods Hole, one from Princeton, I believe. And the last question he had to ask them was, hey, what is your best empirical evidence that your hypothesis is correct? And the room got silent. And the one he asked looked at the other one. They shrugged their shoulders. They didn't have a single example, and these people had been teaching this for 2 decades.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I guess you can see why it's driving some of us absolutely crazy when we see what's going on and what's in the news every day, because my bottom line on this is that the United States, I believe an old poll I saw said that 80% of the people in the United States consider themselves environmentally sensitive, an environmentalist one way or another. With 80% of them out there feeling like they're environmentalist and yet getting beaten up every day in the media that man-made CO2 is causing every climate change or every extreme weather event we see a problem, they're like Layton was, like I was 9 years ago. If somebody had asked me what's causing global warming, I'd have said, I guess it's carbon dioxide, because I hadn't looked into the science behind it. So, unfortunately, the true environmentalists in the United States of America have been grossly misled on this issue.
And they think they like it.
Give you some facts and statistics, hopefully, that will make that a little bit more clear.
What you received your award for environmental excellence from the EPA
in 1990, right?
Was that before or after you came out with your findings that CO2 was?
Oh no, it was before. It was mainly because of my work in the wetlands system. I was.
I'm sure they're already planning on how to come and take it back.
Okay. Excuse me, I didn't hear that.
I said they're probably trying to, right now, they're probably trying to figure out a way to come and take that back.
Oh, come and take it back. Right. Excuse me. I think I didn't put in my hearing aid this morning.
They've got a recall.
I know it. Listen,
on you.
I'm going to go put a lock on that thing right now.
Yeah, they're like, let's go get that thing for that guy, man. He's killing us.
Oh, boy.
We need to
Let me give you some examples of what carbon dioxide can do that is positive for the Earth. And also, if I failed to mention it, be sure and ask me about whether carbon dioxide is a pollutant or not, because I have some information on that, too.
Oh, we shall do that. Hey, hold on 1 second. Let's take a quick break, or
we'll
have all the advertising at the end of the show, which is kind of a drag. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We're here with Leighton Stewart. We're going to talk about climate change and what kind of science there is behind it. Be right back.
Something's shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in the sky. It's something everybody's in the play. And don't you know, it's a beautiful day. Hey! Running down the avenue. See how the sun shines brightly. In the city, on the streets where once was big, it's the blue. Sky is living in the day. Hey! Oh, it's the blue sky. Please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Where did we go wrong? Please tell us why you had to hide away for so long. Where did we go wrong?
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Shopping local, staying local, builds a community.
Downtown Redding is the place to be. Stylish shops, trendy boutiques, fabulous food, and a whole lot of history. Shop local and support these amazing business owners. By shopping local, you help your community thrive. So what do you say? Let's meet downtown. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Redding.
Step away from the keyboard. Shop local in downtown Redding.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, Kristen Schrader, the newest city council person from Redding, will join us, and let's find out what her plans are for the next 4 years, what she plans to do about unfunded liabilities, and, of course, the crime problem facing all of us. All this Monday here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
And a reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron and Bill on AM 1460 KCNR, a rebroadcast of the program with special guest Dr. Leighton Stewart from September 28th of 2014. If you hear phone numbers, don't call. Just enjoy this encore presentation of We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
We had to have the science song. It isn't right without it.
Yeah, we need more science.
I think that's what they were listening to when they were coming up with some of this stuff. So we're here with Leighton Stewart. We're talking about climate change, the real climate change, the one that actually has real science. And we just learned that the actual climate science guys that we have to hear from all the time that are making us drive tiny cars and I don't know, just all the regulation in California is going to be backbreaking, I guess. I was going to say stunning, but stunning, we left stunning a long time ago. Now we're moving on to backbreaking. All because of a theory of global warming, a model that has no empirical data. Huh. That's awesome. So you were talking about, Mr. Stewart, you were saying that CO2, you wanted us to ask you if CO2 is a pollutant.
Oh, you bet. Carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. It is not ever a pollutant. I would challenge any of your listeners that have an example of carbon dioxide being a pollutant to please chime in and tell us exactly what that idea is based upon. Because in talking, giving, lectures, presentations over the years, I've never had a single chemistry professor be able to give me an example of carbon dioxide being a pollutant. When you look at the government's own figures, you can see that the government doesn't even believe that it is any kind of a pollutant to mankind, at least, because for our submariners that are in these atomic subs that stay underwater for 90 days or more on a lot of these missions, they allow the carbon dioxide level to build up in that submarine to 8,000 parts per million before even they get a little warning light that says, hey, you need to get a little more oxygen back in the system. We're breathing 400. They let those submariners breathe up to 8,000 parts per million for months at a time. NASA, in their planning to send somebody to Mars, hopefully one day, they figure it'll be a 3-year mission to go up there and back. They will allow that environment to be 5,000 parts per million for 3 years. So that kind of gives you an idea that maybe carbon dioxide is not really the pollutant to mankind in that sense. If somebody had a heart attack and you were giving them CPR back in the days when we used the mouth-to-mouth resuscitations,
oh, yeah,
you would be breathing into their mouth out of your lungs, which took in 400 parts per million that we're breathing right now. We exhale 4% CO2, which is 40,000 parts per million. And you might be giving that to somebody for up to an hour before the emergency crew got there, and you find out that you'd save their life by keeping air going through their lungs and pumping on their heart, et cetera. And so I think that might give you a pretty good example that carbon dioxide
is not a pollutant.
Because if our lungs can stand 40,000 parts of it for a short period of time every time we exhale, I don't think it's doing a whole lot of damage to us.
Well, for people that wonder about the plant thing and you want a really good visual, I think we got it off your website, co2isgreen.org. And,
yes.
And there's a time lapse at the bottom. If you go to wethepeopleradio.us, scroll to the bottom, you'll see a time lapse video there of a plant. And one of the plants is in a chamber with 450 parts per million. The other one's in with 1270 parts per million. And the amount of differential on the growth is
stunning.
It's great to watch. I mean, that says it all.
You bet. And the agricultural community worldwide has done over 5,300 studies. We're talking about peer-reviewed studies on what happens as you give more CO2 to plants versus plants that are just growing in the ambient or the current atmosphere of CO2 that we have right now. They've also done a lot of studies on specifically adding another 300 parts per million And back when they did most of this, the level was about 350 parts per million, so they almost doubled it. To see what would happen to some of the better-known plants around the Earth, and what they found out was if we would just let the carbon dioxide level continue to build up over the next few decades, get up another 300 parts per million for the eight most consumed food crops on Earth, which are barley, rice, wheat, soybeans, white potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn, and cassava, the average increase in growth of those eight most consumed food crops would be almost 40%. It would be 39.3%. Now, that would be a real good thing to happen to an Earth that has at least 1.5 billion people that are on the edge of starvation today, certainly drastically undernourished. This is real. This is empirical data that comes from real experiments. These are not model studies. They are real experiments in growth chambers where you have a chamber with one plant at our regular CO2, and the next plant you add the 300 parts per million.
Well, Leighton, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Shasta County we have, let's just say, an underground agricultural society here that does very well economically, and one of the things that they've found some of these growers are doing on the indoor grows is they are actually pumping CO2 into the greenhouses.
I did not know that.
And
do that worldwide.
Yeah,
they do big time. The greenhouse operators have figured that out a long time ago, and you know how they build up the CO2 some ways. I mean, they can purchase CO2 and bleed it in there, or they can just light a propane fire over in the corner and let that thing burn fossil fuel, and it'll put carbon dioxide in there, just like we're doing right now when we burn these fossil fuels, oil, gas, and coal, putting CO2 in our atmosphere, and the plants respond marvelously.
Yeah, they're going to have to burn their environmentalist card now because they're going kind of against the grain there.
They've just been misled on this because see almost in the newspapers and about all you ever see on television is that carbon dioxide is causing a big problem. It may cause the Earth to overheat, may cause us to turn into deserts and all that kind of stuff. And there's not any empirical evidence out there to back that up.
Well, it's interesting because I think, whenever I see stuff like this, I immediately look for where's the money. You know, this is always driven by money. And so, you've got these guys, they can't get a grant, for study of any kind unless they sign on to this. And if they don't sign on, all of a sudden they're not working at the university anymore, or they're not writing papers that are published. I just think we see this everywhere. We've got to get the money. I realize it costs money to do, to process all this research, but we've got to get more honest money in there.
You bet. You said that real well. Let me add to it just a little bit because
You pile on, please.
There are about six groups out there, and maybe seven, that have an interest in this. And it ranges from purely monetary to maybe promotional opportunities all the way to the people that have been teaching our classrooms full of students for decades, just not willing to admit that they've been wrong on this issue. You've got the green industries out there that sell green merchandise to us. And, of course, they sell a lot of green merchandise to us. And they don't want to see that go away with this carbon dioxide issue once everybody finally figures out that it really has been a hoax or a scam, whatever you want to call it.
We can call it a scam. That's okay.
The administration, of course, and I'm not going to pick solely on the Obama administration here because all administrations like a flow of tax dollars flowing through their fingers because they'll figure out one way or another to buy votes with it by putting that money someplace where they know it'll get them a lot of votes. So, but that's just a truism. And if they ever build in a cap and trade system world, you know, and over the whole United States, a lot of that tax money will flow through Washington, unfortunately. The Wall Street brokers, of course, with a cap and trade system, will make billions of dollars handling those carbon credit sales and transactions. Academia has been the most disappointing to me because I've been on the board of Tulane University and the largest college at SMU, where I went to school. We love those professors that bring in these huge grants. Well, when Mr. Gore started sending tremendous amounts of money out of the government to the people that were studying the negative effects of carbon dioxide, that's where everybody flocked. And it happened in universities and probably private institutions and whatever that could get a grant to study this. Now, we love those professors. They got promoted faster if they brought a lot of money into the university, and then they ultimately got tenured faster because the amount of research dollars that flow into a university helps that university get ranked nationally, and the higher they rank nationally, the better students they can get, et cetera. There is not a single top 25 university in the United States of America that is bringing in less than $30 million a year in outside research money. Hey. And that's just a fact. So dang. These schools love that. So there's kind of a built-in conflict of interest there in a way, in that they're going to go and write and research and report on things that are going to continue to get the individual students, professors, whatever, grants. And then, like I say, you've got a couple of decades of professors out there that have been teaching how bad carbon dioxide is, and as this empirical evidence builds up and the models continue to fail worse and worse in some cases, they're having a hard time knowing what to do, because what do? You go back and try to get a hold of your last 25 years worth of classes and say, hey, you know, what I told you about climate change just has not turned out to be correct.
Well, they had what, were we going to have an ice age? Then we're going to burn up.
The latest climate change. What was the ozone hole? Was opening up, and now
we've had all kinds of things.
I remember that.
Well, because of all the good things we're doing in California, the ozone hole is now closing up. So we're obviously on the right track,
except for the fact that I'd love the numbers on our forest fires and how much that's unraveled, you know, all their little tiny cars and their, you know, little apartment buildings and no plastic bags and what other idiocy.
Yeah, I mean, you look at forest fires and volcanoes, the amount of CO2 that goes in the air
We can talk about all of those, too, because there is a lot of misinformation going out on all these extreme weather events, just a lot of it. So if you want to talk about that later, we can.
I'd love to talk about that.
I tell you what, the Russian poet Pushkin summed all of this up about as simply as I've ever heard. He said, where there is a trough, there will be pigs.
Oh, wow.
And the government set up the trough, and here came the pig.
Where there is a trough, there will be. I like that.
And I've heard a lot of academics admit it's true.
It is true, because honestly, we've incentivized the wrong thing. We keep doing that. We've got to take one more quick break before the top of the hour. We're going to come back with Leighton Stewart. I knew this was going to be a fun show. We love stuff like this. Going to get the truth out about this silly climate change CO2 gig. Be right back with you.
Green, it's green, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Oh, well, I told my mama on the day I was born, don't you cry when you see I'm gone. You know there ain't no woman gonna settle me down. I just gotta be traveling on. I'm singing.
Green, green, it's green they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Not you ever.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al's Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Turtle Bay's third West Coast Biennial Juried Art Exhibition is now open at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. This year's juror, Bonnie Lang Malcolmson from the Portland Art Museum, has selected the pieces for the exhibition. With works in many media, competing artists from California, Oregon, Washington, and Alaska, the West Coast Biennial Juried Art Exhibition is a show you won't want to miss. The exhibition features works from some of the North State and Redding local artists, as well as many other great artists. For the park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave servicewomen. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
Attention all brides-to-be! If you're newly engaged or a wedding is on its way, on Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3, the Simpson University Event Center is where you need to be. The Bridal Guide Wedding Show is your one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. It's the wedding show of the year. Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3 at the Simpson Event Center. For more information, call 223-3868.
Remember, that is going on right now, today, until 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Simpson University Center, the 2015 wedding show, coming off rain or shine. It's indoors, so don't let the weather keep you away. Again, the wedding show going on right now at Simpson University. And also going on right now here on AM 1460, an encore presentation from September 28th of last year, We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff and special guest Leighton Steward on how there is no empirical evidence for climate change. We continue now. If you hear phone numbers, please don't call. This is AM 1460 KCNR, an encore presentation of We the People.
What's that secret you're keeping?
There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they'd let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door.
It ain't Al Gore.
It's money, free money they're taking from us. Oh my gosh. Well, Mr. Steward, we have you as a hostage for the second hour, so we can talk about whatever we want. But how would you like to polish off this hour?
Well, we can keep talking about this. I can bring in the cavalry in a minute and bring in the ex-NASA guys and gals, because they've come up with some real interesting observations.
Well, you mentioned the global weather events that we're experiencing, because I just get sick and tired of hearing these guys saying, oh, all this extreme weather we're having is all because of climate change. It's all upside down. And I'd love you to talk about that a little bit.
You bet. Well, they certainly are trying to tar and feather everybody with the idea that each one of these extreme weather events, you know, are caused by man-made carbon dioxide being in the atmosphere. The first thing is, when they talk about extreme weather events, they're putting out information that is absolutely not backed up by actual facts. If you look at the number of droughts I'm talking about globally. We're talking about global climate change, not regional climate change. If we look at the entire globe, we find out that we are not having more droughts now than we have historically in the last century or so. We're not having more wildfires. We know that from the Wildfire Center up in Boise, Idaho, that actually the number of wildfires have been trending down for nearly 40 years now. But every one that we have makes front page headlines, makes the news every night, so we all think we're having way more wildfires than any of us remember when we were growing up, because we didn't hear about all these things except the ones that were right in our own backyard almost.
Well, we can't talk about the forest fires that we're not having, so.
That's right. It's kind of hard to talk about
it. It would be the global warming,
sea
guys.
Sea level rise is not accelerating. The sea level has been rising about 7 inches a century now for quite some period of time, and it's still rising at about that rate. And in fact, some of the instruments that are measuring it are making it look like sea level has even been slowing somewhat. So as you look at these extreme weather events that they keep talking about, the number of strong hurricanes, the number of strong tornadoes, the data just does not back up those observations. In fact, and Earth has warmed some. None of us say Earth hasn't warmed some. It's been warming for 300 years, ever since the Little Ice Age ended. But we just cannot keep making up information to make some environmental extremist organization get more money. They're getting their money by scaring it out of your pocket. And if people would stop and think about that for a little while and look at the real facts and hold those people's feet to the fire that are leading those groups, we'd find out that there's a whole different answer out there. That as Earth warms, as the poles begin to warm, which they are somewhat, the difference between the equator and the poles gets to be less, and you have less strong storms when there's not as big a differential. Differential is when the poles are ice cold all the time, and the equator is still warm. So anyhow, it's just driving us crazy to see all these things said that are absolutely not true. And I'm hoping that someday we'll begin to hold these people's feet to the fire and say, what you're saying is a lie. Give us the data from which you make those statements and see how they can go dig that data up.
So speaking of the poles, are the ice caps truly melting away? Are they getting smaller?
They are melting somewhat because Earth's been warming for 300 years since the Little Ice Age ended. I might ask anybody out there, since the Industrial Revolution only happened 150 or 60 years ago, and that's when we started putting measurable increases in carbon dioxide into Earth's atmosphere, what made the Earth warm for the first 150 years of that 300-year warming trend?
Yeah, that's awkward.
I mean, it certainly wasn't man-made carbon dioxide. And so since that trend has continued upward for 300 years and everybody says, oh, but look, the last decade has been the warmest decade on record, I'd say, well, let's see, if there's a 300-year upward warming trend on Earth, which end of it would you go look at to find the 10 warmest years? You would look at the tail end of it, which is where we are today. We're at the 300-year mark of that 300-year trend. So that's how they mislead people.
Yeah,
and steal their money. We're going to take a little break and see what the news is today. Catch up on probably some weather, huh? We'll be right back with Leighton Stewart. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, here at KCNR 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've got a replay in progress here. Hour number two of We the People with Leighton Stewart, the special guest from September 28th of last year, is coming up here on AM 1460. Stay tuned for the news now on KCNR. Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Egypt's health ministry says at least five people have been killed in a riot at a soccer stadium outside Cairo, and the toll is likely to rise. Some 20 people are injured. Security officials say that fans tried to force their way into the match without tickets, setting off clashes. The weather in New England is expected to worsen as the day wears on, as the latest in a series of snowstorms moves in. Boston Mayor Marty Walsh says crews are already hard at work.
We have 350 snowplows out on the roadways, widening as best they can the roadways in the city of Boston, salting the roadways and plowing the roadways.
Forecasters say that the storm will last into tomorrow morning, and it could dump up to 2 feet of snow in eastern and northeastern Massachusetts. Also at SRNNews.com, Jordan's Air Force says it's destroyed 56 ISIS targets since the terrorist group released a video of a captured Jordanian pilot being burned to death. Foreign Minister Nasser Judi says this is Jordan's contribution to the larger war against ISIS, which he says is going well.
They're not gone yet, but certainly, I mean, the sustained air campaign of the last few months has degraded their capabilities on the ground. We know that. They still control vast territory. They still have access to serious cash and funds.
He spoke to ABC's this week. Another Jordanian official says this is just the beginning. Police say they've identified the gunman who took his own life after killing four people and injuring two in a quiet neighborhood near Atlanta. The Douglas County Sheriff's Office says Cedric G. Prather died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound after shooting his ex-wife, another adult, and two children yesterday in Douglasville, about 20 miles west of Atlanta. Two other children, an 8-year-old and a 15-year-old, listed in critical but stable condition at a hospital. Authorities say that a Western Pennsylvania teenager charged in the shooting death of another teen took a selfie with the body and sent it to a friend on social media. This is SRN News.
Doolittle Tablets is all it takes to get thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically proven, loved by celebrities, and recommended by doctors. And right now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is being offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-396-7487. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. It makes thin hair full, full hair beautiful, and promotes the growth of thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, 96% of women would recommend it to a friend. Listen to this.
It's vibrant, shiny, bouncy, everything you want your hair to be. I love Viviscal because it works. It completely works.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls can try it risk-free for 90 days, plus free shipping. Get thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Call now, 800-396-7487. 800-396-7487. That's 800-396-7487.
Russian-backed militants in eastern Ukraine have reportedly been massing their forces for attacks on Ukrainian population centers. SRN's Tom Barton reports from Moscow.
Russian-backed militants have intensified their shelling of Ukrainian-held territory and have been massing forces near the town of Debaltseve and the city of Mariupol, said a spokesman. An offensive by the Russian-backed forces in recent weeks has seen them gain ground against Ukraine's army and has pushed up civilian and military casualties and forced thousands to flee their homes. Tom Barton, SRN News, Moscow.
The potential $1 billion settlement of NFL concussion claims appears close to winning final approval. Federal judge in Philadelphia has asked for only a few tweaks from the two sides. The settlement would resolve thousands of lawsuits that accuse the NFL of hiding what it knew about the link between concussions and long-term brain injury. Lead lawyers say the deal gets money to ex-players struggling with dementia and other health problems. This is SRN News. Big business and trade groups gave at least $217 million to sway the outcome of state ballot measure and referendum campaigns during the 2014 midterm elections.
And a new study finds that for the most part, they were wildly successful, defeating proposals they did not like. Several wealthy individuals joined those businesses and business groups on the list of the top 50 contributors to ballot measures, according to an analysis from the Center for Public Integrity. Altogether, those top 50 donors gave at least $272 million to campaigns for and against ballot measures.
SRN's Rich Thomason says health care concerns top the list of industry givers. American Sniper has been knocked out of the top spot at the box office. The SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water opened with an estimated $56 million in North America, pushing Clint Eastwood's heroic Navy SEAL drama to number two after 3 weeks on top. More details at srnnews.com. I'm Gordon Griffin.
And this is We the People, an encore presentation for this Sunday, February 8th, 2015. We're listening to a replay of the broadcast of September 28th of last year, featuring geologist, environmentalist, author, and retired energy industry executive Leighton Stewart. The topic, the fact there is no catastrophic global warming evidence. And we continue our presentation now. Enjoy hour number two, the encore of We the People here on AM 1460 KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Joining the second hour of We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. Aaron, Bill, Bob, fellas, how you doing?
I'm doing good. We're with Leighton Stewart, who's whooping up on the on the environmentalist wackos out there.
He's dismembering the CO2 scam of global warming. Because you know what? I really liked it the first hour. Leighton, give the CO2 thing again for with your mouth-to-mouth resuscitation thing so I don't mess it up, because I thought that was absolutely the best example ever.
Well, I tell you what, there is a real whole Earth experiment that has been going on relative to carbon dioxide and what it is doing to Mother Nature's Earth. If we look at what has been going on since we started putting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, we found out, one of the current NASA scientists has found out about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that there was a sensor on one of the satellites that's been up since 1979 that is measuring the greenness of Earth. They hadn't been looking at it that way, but he said, hey, we can go back and see if the forests are getting more dense, if the grasslands are expanding or contracting and whatever. And now for the last, 35 years, he has found out that Earth has been getting greener and greener and still greener for three successive decades now, despite all of the paving with asphalt, concrete, putting buildings everywhere, even clear-cutting some of the rainforest. Earth has been getting greener and greener. Now, that kind of tells you what this dirty, nasty, filthy old carbon dioxide that we're putting in the atmosphere is really doing to the Earth.
Well,
it is greening the Earth. It is making the food crops grow. It is totally beneficial to mankind, because without carbon dioxide, there would be no life on Earth. Thank goodness the plants take this carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere that we're feeding to the atmosphere, and they're giving us back oxygen that we all breathe so we can be alive.
What's the ratio between the CO2 that is put in the atmosphere naturally through forest fires and volcanoes and such, as opposed to man-made CO2? I mean, do we really make that much of a difference?
No, we don't. We don't put much of the total carbon dioxide that goes into the atmosphere. A very small percentage of it comes from human-generated things. So, and there are charts on that. Go to our website, plantsneedco2.org, and you'll see some of the science behind what I've been saying on the air here. The other thing is that, let me bring in the cavalry on this, because, I mean, yes, I've got a Master of Science degree, and I've been studying this now intently for 8 or 9 years, and I've been rubbing elbows with a lot of the people that are a lot smarter than I am, et cetera, to make sure that what I'm saying is correct. But we've got this group of ex-NASA scientists that aren't beholden to the administration anymore or the current leader of NASA in Washington. They invited me to talk to about 35 of their retirees here in the Hill Country, northwest of San Antonio, about 3 years ago. So I gave one of my presentations based on this empirical evidence that I've been talking to you folks about. Well, after it was over and we were milling around, they said, well, you know, we already have been getting real uncomfortable with what we're hearing out of NASA today because they are not showing us any data to back up the statements they've been making that have been coming out of Washington. Said back in the days when we were putting people on the moon, and a lot of these retired guys are the old Apollo bunch of people, and then ultimately the space station people, et cetera, that have retired. They said, you know, we had a sign in the control center there in Houston that said, in God we trust, all others bring data. So they didn't mess with any of these assumptions and unvalidated models. They said, we're not going to try to put somebody in space based on some unvalidated model results. So they were used to looking at hard data, and they couldn't figure out why NASA was making some of these statements that looked like man-made CO2 was the big problem, when NASA wasn't showing them any data, real data, to back that up. So wouldn't you like to hear what an objective, unpaid, volunteer bunch of ultra-bright scientists that will go down in history forever, even if it's 18,000 years from now, is the first team to put man on another heavenly body and bring them back alive by us putting our people on the moon and back? Well, here's how they're made up. They're made up of physicists, geophysicists, astrophysicists, geochemists, mechanical, electrical engineers, mathematicians, geologists, meteorologists, and many of them have PhDs. It's just an unusually objective team, and like I say, they're not beholden to Washington, so they can say anything they want, and this is what they've come up with, which I think, hopefully, you'll agree, is 180 degrees from what we're hearing out of our administration today. First thing they say is the science of the major cause of climate change is not settled. Natural processes dominate climate change. Man-made CO2 impact appears to be muted or very little. Real empirical evidence does not support catastrophic warming. The government is overreacting to concerns about man-made global warming. The catastrophic forecasts are coming from unvalidated climate models, which should not be used for making policy. The climate models contain assumptions of Earth sensitivity to CO2 that are far too high. That the EPA and administration call CO2 a pollutant is scientifically embarrassing. And then they go back, and the final thing they say, that using the last 163 years of real temperature and CO2 data, if they put that into a model using this real data, the maximum rise in temperature projects at only 1 degree Celsius by the end of this century, which is only a third or a quarter of what the IPCC is projecting.
But then again, I've heard that if the Earth raised 1 degree, that's catastrophic.
There is no way. Let me put that in perspective for you. I went back and dig out the Farmer's Almanac or something. Go look at the three coldest months in the winter in New York City, and go look at the three coldest months in Miami, Houston, Phoenix, blah, 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 blah. There is about 20 degrees Fahrenheit difference in that. Now, there are two statisticians, one from Cal Santa Barbara, one from Cal Berkeley, not known as real conservative universities, I might add.
Yeah, no kidding.
And these guys found out that just the voluntary relocation of people from the north to the south, because they have been pouring into anywhere from California to Arizona, Texas, Florida, as you know, over the last several decades for a number of reasons, not the least of which it's warmer down here. People have been coming down here and they live longer. These statisticians found out that there is a net increase to longevity in the United States of America of somewhere between 3 and 7 degrees Fahrenheit that can be attributed, excuse me, in longevity, not temperature. If you go back and just look at how much longer the people live than their brethren that they left back in the north where it was colder, they live longer when they move to places that in the winter are 20 degrees Fahrenheit warmer. And they're trying to scare us to death and say 1 degree Celsius, which is a couple of degrees Fahrenheit, is going to wipe us all out. It is utter nonsense.
That's what I always thought.
It warms another 1 degree centigrade in the north, the latitude line for being able to grow crops or grow more crops moves northward. That's a good thing. More places to grow things for people to eat. There's just not any common sense in what we're hearing every day, but climate science is very complex. There are so many moving parts. In the book I wrote, Fire, Ice, and Paradise, I had 18 climate drivers. This was about 6 years ago. I've now found four more. There are at least 22 drivers of Earth's climate, and a lot of those drivers operate at different time scales. So we should never expect the climate to be stable. It never has been. I've got one example that they'll see on my website. It's called No Flat Lines, because if you look back 5 million years, 400,000 years, 120,000 years, 120 days, you'll see that that temperature is always changing. It's either going up or down. And once it gets in a little trend for a few years, somebody's going to figure out a way to make money on it, just as, Ann, I think you said early on, they said we were going to have global cooling, you know, back in the mid-70s.
Oh, yeah, ice age.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, that was just a temporary trend, and sure enough, it ended. And then we got into about 30 years of warming, which was a warming trend, which happened to coincide with CO2 going up, even though the other one was opposite of CO2 going up.
And like we got a tiger by the tail.
Somebody figure out a way to make money out of it.
Yep, yep.
And it always starts with scaring everybody. That's a part that just burns my cookies. We need to take a really quick break and thank our advertisers who are out there putting CO2 into the atmosphere so it can get greener. Fantastic. We'll be back with Leighton Stewart here. We're talking about global warming and climate change. And the hostages we've all become.
I think we're going to make it.
Fake science.
Yeah.
Here at WeThePeopleRadio.us, here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
You're listening to an encore presentation of We the People from September 28th of last year.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
You've been telling me you're a genius since you were 17. And all the time I've known you, I still don't know what to do. The weekends at the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the
years? It's all done on grants that focus on global warming. Gosh. So, Mr. Stewart, the scientists that you've been working with, they were formerly on the Apollo mission, and do these guys just think we're crazy making all these laws and charging people all this money to get rid of CO2?
Oh, they think we're crazy to try to demonize carbon dioxide. They agree that it is beneficial. They don't disagree with anything I said about the benefits of carbon dioxide, and they. Like I say, when they say they find it scientifically embarrassing that people, the EPA, the president all the time, the president hardly says carbon dioxide without saying pollutant in the same sentence. The only thing that's getting polluted there are our minds and our children's minds because, like I say, there's not a single example of carbon dioxide being a pollutant.
Well, how do they explain the whole greenhouse thing? I mean, when greenhouse growers elevate the CO2 levels in their greenhouses to increase plant growth, how do they get around that? I mean, if it's such a bad thing for the planet, I mean,
they just don't address it.
They just ignore it.
I'm telling you, they ignore this real data. Look, one thing I do want to say, carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas. Carbon dioxide does trap, at least temporarily, some additional heat, but the amount is very small. The ability of carbon dioxide to trap more heat declines logarithmically, or if you want to say it in plain words, it declines very rapidly so that each additional molecule of CO2 that's going into the atmosphere right now can physically trap less heat than the previous molecule, and it just gets less and less and less as more and more CO2 builds up. The first 20 parts per million out of the 400 we're breathing right now caused the temperature to rise about a degree and a half Celsius or 3 degrees Fahrenheit. That was a lot, but because of this scientific truth that carbon dioxide's ability to trap heat declines logarithmically, it just cannot be trapping that much more right now, and that's what empirical data is showing us. Oh. I mean, this pause we're in for the last 16 to 18 years right now, where CO2 level has continued to go up steeply, the temperature hasn't increased at all now for over a decade and a half. And so that kind of tells you right there that natural factors are overpowering whatever weak input CO2 has on the current temperature of the Earth.
Well, back in the days of the dinosaurs, wasn't that one of the warmer times of the planet and one of the greener times? And I mean, life just flourished.
Of course, we're looking back now hundreds of millions of years, and we've had much warmer times than we're in, and we've had times that are as cold as we're in now. Earth is really in an ice age now compared to the last 500 years. We haven't had many times when Earth has been this cool. Normally, it's been warmer than this. So, and that's where life evolved, and mankind came in here the last few million years, I suppose. So
that's really not...
You have to look at all of that. You have to look at the stable isotope work. You have to look at all the other little proxy indicators to see whether Earth was warm or cool at those times and what the CO2 level was. And like I say, I just can't find a causative impact. When you look at the ice cores from the North and the South Poles, you find out that temperature changes, and then several hundred years later, carbon dioxide levels change. And so even the warmest alarmists are having to admit that, well, CO2 is not causing the initial climate change. But that's not the feeling you get every day when you listen to the radio or watch television, et cetera. You think that carbon dioxide is driving all of this.
Well, sure. That's why we have to buy the carbon credits. I mean,
you bet. I mean, it's just money we're wasting. Think of what we could be doing with the trillions of dollars it's going to cost to try to reduce CO2 out of our atmosphere, which isn't going to impact the climate hardly at all.
Good grief.
It is a tragedy it's not being spent on medical research. It's a tragedy it's not just being spent on alternative fuel research. The problem we have right now is everybody's jumping to conclusions we ought to be using solar and wind power, which we very well may need someday, but we're talking about maybe a century into the future or whatever. So why are we penalizing all the poor people on Earth by all of a sudden making them have to pay the highest rates for their household electricity, for their food, for their transportation, things like that? It's the poor people that don't have any optional dollars to spend. In Germany, the electricity now, because they have forced themselves to go to wind and solar over there, the electricity in Germany costs three times as much as it costs here in the United States now. And yet our government's trying to drive us to using wind and solar when we are fortunately have just found abundant oil and gas resources, and we're the richest nation on Earth relative to coal reserves.
Well, if Germany would just get with a bandwagon and start converting their corn to fuel, I think their fuel prices would go way down.
And they sure raised the price of tortillas and things like that.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, it didn't help us that like Mexican food. Wow.
Nope.
No.
And it's crazy. I mean, and yet you never hear that side of the story that all that corn reserves that used to go to feed poor countries is now basically being wasted to produce fuel that costs more money than fossil fuel.
And let me mention one thing. The only good thing I can think of to say about Al Gore. Al Gore has admitted that he was wrong on using corn for biofuels. He's admitted that.
Wow.
Obviously, he didn't admit it publicly.
If there are any Gore fans out there, just you need to know that fella has admitted he was wrong about using food for biofuels. It doesn't make any sense. It's just causing the poor people more grief.
Maybe it's a trend.
There are over a billion people, I think I've heard it, from a billion to a billion point three people on Earth that have never flipped a light switch. And if you get to thinking about going through your day without any electricity, that's not a very fun thing to do.
We'd be living in caves.
Well, they kind
it's a
of
hard
are.
Way to do radio.
You bet. Anyway, I've
Bob, you'd
said
be,
enough.
You'd be over there
like
a squirrel.
Questions or things you want to ask me about?
Oh, we do. We do. We have tons. Actually, I wanted to get the numbers down again. In real life, because I never got the mouth-to-mouth deal back again, I really think that's a great example, that when someone does mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, they are exhaling CO2 into the person. And
40,000 parts per million.
And in real life, we have how many parts per million just
hanging
around? And
we are breathing in 400.
Okay, I did write it down correctly.
So it's about 100 times more, I think, if I did the quick math.
So if CO2 is a pollutant, doing mouth-to-mouth resuscitation should kill everybody pretty much instantly.
Pretty much instantly,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, mercy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've asked doctors, I said, is there any harmful impact on that? They said, well, they might get a headache from it or something, but you saved their life.
Yeah, but they were going to die, so, you know.
Yeah.
Headache, die.
Anyway,
headache,
I think the government figures tell you the thing when they let the submariners routinely breathe up to 8,000 parts per million for months at a time.
And with no ill effects.
With no ill effects.
Yeah, I need to write that down, too. The submarine guys... Submarines have...
Yep. Nuclear submarine guys 8, that stay underwater for months at a time.
Wow. And how does all that... How does that all get skipped in the in this dialogue? Is it just such a drowned out because of the...
Well, I tell you, well, what happens is we can't get any debates. Now, why won't the other side debate? They will not debate because their Achilles heel is empirical evidence. And as I gave you some examples of that, they don't have any empirical evidence. All of their scare stories are coming from these unvalidated computer models. And so I've had 4 debates in 8 years.
Wow.
And that is it. And I'm telling you, it is really unusual to get one. The one that Dr. Singer had up at Purdue was an unusual one that they would agree to debate him. And the last thing he asked was, what's your empirical evidence to back up your hypothesis? And they couldn't come up with any.
What was the reaction to the folks that were at that debate when
I don't know. I wish I'd been there.
I know it. I mean,
I'm sure it was a big student body.
Sure.
And I don't know the aftermath. I'll have to call Fred Singer and ask him if he got any feedback on that.
Gosh, that would have been awesome. You really? Know, it's true though. If they don't debate, they do shut down the dialogue.
Well, they've already won. The media is on their side.
Yeah.
The president is on their side. You're not hearing our good information. You know, good news doesn't sell, as they say in the media. Bad news sells much better.
Well, sure. How do you fight when the president comes out and says, you know, climate change is the number one threat to our national security?
And that just scares people to death. Yeah, it's by far, Kerry says, it's by far the greatest threat to mankind there is. And yet people are flooding out of the north to live in areas that in the winter are 20 degrees Fahrenheit warmer. And they're flooding out to come to the south where even in the summer it is several degrees, maybe 6 or 8 degrees warmer. And they are living longer.
Yeah.
Now that's super confusing.
That's hard.
Out of 2 liberal universities came those statistics.
You know, we got to do a better job of getting that information out. Let's. We need to take a really quick break here, and we'll be back with our guest, Leighton Stewart. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, or give us a call if you'd like, 530-605-4567. We're here at KCNR, 1460 AM. Why did you lie to me? Can't be trusted good for nothing type of brother. Everything you claim to be was a lie.
Jones's Fort, Redding's full-line gun shop, offers the largest selection of guns and gun accessories in the North State. We are Redding's full-line gun shop. Since 1969, we have been serving the Redding area. We at Jones's Fort take pride in being able to offer you sound advice on all your gun questions. You'll always find a good selection of new and used guns at Jones's Fort. We'll help you find the gun that is perfect for you. Have a gun you no longer need? Bring it to us. We buy, trade, and consign. Informal appraisals are given free at no charge. No gun shop is complete without expert gunsmiths. We have 4 full-time gunsmiths who can service all types of firearms. In our full machine shop, we can enhance the performance of your favorite gun or build you a custom gun to meet your needs. Marshal Dave Jones II heads up our Firearm Institute, where we do California concealed weapon classes, Utah classes, and hunter education classes. Come see us at Jones's Fort.
Want to have a great cup of specialty coffee that is reasonably priced? Well, head on down to Tobacco & Brew. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco & Brew can fulfill all of your coffee and tea needs.
Then walk next door to the most complete tobacco shop in Northern California. Veterans discounts, e-cigs of all sizes and flavors, a walk-in humidor that has the finest cigars as noted in Cigar Aficionado. Tobacco & Brew. Coffee, wine, tea, and a fully stocked tobacco emporium. 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Open 7 days a week. We'll see you there.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
Attention all brides-to-be. If you're newly engaged or a wedding is on its way, on Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3, the Simpson University Event Center is where you need to be. The Bridal Guide Wedding Show is your one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. It's the wedding show of the year. Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3 at the Simpson Event Center. For more information, call 223-3868.
Remember, that's today, the wedding show at the Simpson Event Center going on until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff and special guest Leighton Steward. Enjoy it on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Lies, lies. I can't believe
what you say.
Lies,
lies, lies
are gonna make you sad someday. Someday you're gonna be lonely.
I'm already sad.
So, Bob, how many songs are there about lies? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, at least 500, I think.
Get out. We could do tons of shows on all the lies they tell us. That's great. Never have to repeat the music.
Do an entire show on lying. Yes.
Every show we talk about, you know, it's like, oh, guess what? Agency of the government has been lying to us. Big shock. All right. Mr. Steward, we're back with you. I was an English major. I was definitely not a science. That was not my deal. Actually, our whole family is prevented from understanding science in a deep sort of way. We have a lack of caring. But this actually gives me enough information to refute their stupid climate stuff. That's sad.
I tell you, it is sad. Speaking of teachers, we all learn from our teacher in the third grade that CO2 is what plants eat.
Exactly. Well, we used to. Do they do that anymore?
Just so very basic. That is what the plants eat, and then they give us oxygen in response. But because climate science is so complex, the general public, I don't think, will ever be able to get their arms around the complexity of this, because we scientists are having a hard time getting our arms really around of these 22 climate drivers I've got on here that range from sun's heat, magnetism, eccentricity, the Earth's tilt, wobble, methane, ozone currents, ocean currents, etc. We're having a hard time ourselves finding out which of these natural factors are really the most in control. Is it the sun, where we get 99.something% of all of our heat? Is it these ocean currents? We know every time we have an El Nino and a La Nina, it immediately changes global temperatures. So we know the ocean currents are really important. But yet, we've spent billions and billions of dollars trying to find out the negative impact of carbon dioxide, which, when you find out right off that the ice cores are showing the temperature changes first, when you go look at the physics of it and see that its ability to trap more heat declines logarithmically, as you put more and more CO2 in the atmosphere, the empirical evidence is giving us the answers that carbon dioxide is not having that much of an impact on the climate. And we should be spending all this money trying to figure out what is driving it. We should be spending money figuring out what we should be doing when the climate changes, because it's been changing for billions of years, and it's not going to change now, despite what we do. These natural factors are still going to have their big impacts. You've got the long-term ones like continental drift with the continents moving around. And when one of the big continents gets over the poles and builds up ice like we have at the South Pole now, 90% of the fresh water on Earth is on the South Pole, but because it's high in elevation, the average temperature there is something like minus 70 degrees, so that ice doesn't ever melt. But if it all melted, yes, sea level would rise, but gee, what's it going to take to melt ice that's at
minus 70
degrees?
Yes, again, I
year.
Can do that science.
Da, da, da. And the sea and the ice, by the way, is building up at the South Pole, even in the periphery of that continent, while we are getting some melting at the North Pole. That's true. But like I say, Earth's been warming for 300 years, so if I expected to find any melting at the North Pole, I guess I think I'd go look up there right now and expect to see that maybe there's less ice now than there was 150 years ago.
Now, what would you tell the folks that are concerned about our drought out here in the West?
Well, you're clearly having a drought in the West, and I grew up in Texas, and I'm an old dude that remembers what it was like in the 50s when we could go out and walk for 10 days in a row with the backpack down in the Southwest here and not see a single deer, not even one. That seven-year drought was so bad it had wiped out most of the animals down here. No quail, you know, nothing like that. It is a regional problem that's happening, but when we take this satellite that's circling the globe, it's a polar orbiting satellite, and it measures the entire globe about every 12 or 15 days, we see that overall Earth is not locked into any big drought. It's not happening. Yeah, so that information alone should have really broken it over the nose of some of these warmest alarmists. With Earth getting greener and greener, despite all these negative things they're saying are happening, and they're saying there are more droughts and more floods, and we're having more hurricanes, and we're having more strong tornadoes, and we're having more wildfires. Those are lies. Go look at the real data and see those are not true statements.
I love it.
I found out a long time ago, if I went on a trip to Washington or something and happened to bump into the head of even the venerable old Audubon Society, National Audubon Society, that their guy was riding around in a stretched limousine up there while a lot of us were taking taxis to these meetings. I mean, the heads of some of these environmental groups are getting paid by how big their organization is relative to the other environmental organizations.
Yep, and how much scaring they
do. So there's a conflict
do.
Of interest there. I mean, they've got to keep growing and building up. It affects their direct salaries. Maybe not on every one of them, but on most of them.
Mr. Stewart,
it will just drive you crazy. Let me mention one thing, and I think you may have said it right at the very first of the show, but let me go back and bring in the cavalry again. Go to the rightclimatestuff.com and see what these brilliant ex-NASA people are saying and some astronauts are saying about Earth's climate relative to what the administration is saying today that has NASA under their fingers, under their thumb, I guess I should say. That is a real important site, and of course, going to plantsneedco2.org will let you see some of the stuff I've put together also. But that will be very educational for you, and you won't have to just rely on some guy that got a couple hours with you guys today that has been wallowing around in environmental stuff nearly all my life. But I'm not a PhD, so go listen to a bunch of people that are, because interestingly enough, we're saying the same thing.
Maybe that's why, I always remember somebody tells me a story, you know. I hear it, and I can hear your, I'll hear your voice in my head when next time somebody wants to give me some of this mumbo-jumbo, rather than hearing, shut up. That's what I was hearing before. I'll hear facts. Hey, we have Randall on the line. He's got a question for you about the jet stream. Hit it, Randall.
Yes. Recently on the news, and this is very recent, like a couple of days ago, they talk about the jet stream, and so you can blame global warming on the jet stream. That's my question, sort of.
Or
like,
you can bring global cooling by the movement of the jet stream, and yes, it does move around from time to time. But if you look at the globe as a whole, the jet stream by itself doesn't look like for any period of time it's going to change the Earth's whole climate, because, like I say, it does move around. There's a lot of difference in the pressures, temperature, et cetera, between the pole and what's going on in the lower latitudes of Earth.
Does that help, Randall?
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
We need to take our last really swift break here. Bob has lined up for us, and we'll be right back with you and finish out the hour with Leighton Stewart. Wanted to remind everybody we have Chris Ann Hall tomorrow night at the Reading Tea Party, 6 p.m. at Bonneview Baptist Church. Oops, that's a lie. It's called Destiny Fellowship Church. It's still in the same building, though. Show up anyway.
Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more.
For a free consultation or more information, call North State Tax Consultants, 530-221-0101.
Bingo's $10,000 Lucky Loot. Play high stakes Indian bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino on Sunday, March 1st. 12 regular games pay $1,000. Plus, be the first to cover all on one bingo card and win $10,000 cash. Each three on Lucky Loot special is only $5. Yes, you can win 10 grand. Pre-sales available. Machines only hands free. For details, log on to WindRiver.com. Play bingo March 1st and win 10 grand. Bingo is better on the river.
Wind River Resort and Casino has delivered by continuing the trend of bringing back what you asked for. We are excited to bring back an array of appetizing specials inside Element's Restaurant. We invite you to come in and enjoy a delicious meal. Ask your server about our daily 777 specials and our nightly dinner specials. So come in and relax as you enjoy what our new menu has to offer. Whether it is breakfast, lunch, or dinner that you crave, Element's Restaurant offers something special for everyone. Log on to WindRiver.com. Dining is better on the river.
And a reminder, you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff and special guest Leighton Stewart. We return to our final segment now. We hope you've enjoyed this encore presentation from September 28th of last year on AM 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
See, there are victims here. That's the thing. And it's all of us. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Bob, for another lying song.
Did we lose Bill for the last segment?
I don't know. Bill ran away. He's back. You know, we were just talking during the break, Leighton. Honestly, the way that you explain this is bite-sized for everybody. I mean, real people live in 400 parts per million CO2, but they breathe out 40,000. So if CO2 was a pollutant, you couldn't do mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I think everybody can remember that.
But hey, an alert listener wanted me to bring up a factoid with you. Officially, they no longer advocate breathing into someone's mouth for CPR. Now it's
but that's usually because you're going to get some heinous disease from them.
Chest compression is sufficient. That's what the CPR police called to tell us.
Oh well, I know that. But bottom line is CPR
doesn't. CPR police.
But for you old school CPR fans,
if any of you have a plant in your house, be sure tonight before you go to bed to go and breathe on that plant. It will love the taste of what you're breathing on it because you will be giving that plant dessert. You'll be giving it 40,000 parts per million of what it lives on. And way back in 1950 or whenever it was, I remember my mother telling me while I was about to go into high school or something, she said, "Oh," Leighton said, "Ms. Williford up the street said that when she talks to her plants, they grow better." And she laughed, and then, of course, I laughed and everything. Ms. Williford was right. And it wasn't that she talked to them and sent vibrations from her voice to those plants. The plants liked the taste of her voice. They liked the carbon dioxide that was coming from her voice. And it does make the plants grow better.
My gosh.
See, that's why my plants all die. I talk about them, not to them.
So when all these tree huggers go up into the woods and cry for the trees actually do like it.
They do like it, except for the crying parts. Well, it's so repulsive.
Look, let's get the attention of the true environmentalist out there. Not the extremists. You'll never change their mind. But the true environmentalist out there. Earth is greening. It is not browning. The president's actions will actually brown the earth in a relative sense if he can really make us stop putting more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. If he could get it all the way back to pre-industrial revolutions, it would actually brown the earth and it would kill or shorten the lives of hundreds of millions of people. We also know that when we take carbon dioxide away from plants in real experiments, the plants begin to wither. They don't put out as much grain, etc. And that's not model results. Those are the results of real experiments by the agricultural community worldwide.
Well, if the
talk to the environmentalist out there and say, folks, you've been had. You're on the wrong side of this issue. If you want more robust habitats and ecosystems, keep feeding the plants more CO2. And before you decide, well, no, but it's causing global warming, look into those facts also and make sure that whoever's telling you that has some empirical observations to back it up.
That's where it all blows apart. We have a caller on the line wants to bring up something about carbon monoxide versus carbon dioxide.
Yes.
Fire away. Bill.
Yes, I had a question. You've got carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide, the difference between the two of them, and are the catalytic converters on the vehicles producing carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide?
Well, the catalytic converters are supposed to be reducing the amount of carbon monoxide. Carbon monoxide is poisonous. It is a pollutant to humans, and it also carbon monoxide building up down at Earth's surface level will actually stunt the growth of some of the plants. So try to rein in carbon monoxide is a clearly beneficial thing that we should be doing. And, of course, we have made quite a few strides in that over the past years.
I just wanted to maybe jump back on what you said earlier about implementing the president's plans. I think if the real truth were known, if every plan that he has on the table for this country did go into effect, the actual effect on our atmosphere would be minuscule, if it could even be measurable. Isn't that true?
Even the heads of the EPA in the past have admitted that if the United States of America reduces its emission of CO2 by 80% by the middle of this century, it would only have like 1/100th of a degree difference in Earth's atmosphere. I mean, you've got China,
right.
You've got Russia continuing, you've got India putting carbon dioxide in the atmosphere like crazy. And so if we just unilaterally do this and drive our economy to using the most expensive energies on Earth, which are solar and wind, we will be committing unilateral economic suicide.
And you know, the argument to that is, well, all the other countries will see the great things that we're doing, and they'll all follow suit. So once we destroy our economy, then they'll jump on board and destroy it as
well. Well, I can tell you the leaders of China and India are boycotted that thing that went on in New York. Just happened, and they clearly aren't buying any of this.
No,
you talk to the head of the Russian Space Observatory, and he tells you he thinks that over the next 20 or 30 years, Earth will probably cool. If you look at the lack of sunspots we're having now, and we're probably going into a relatively quiet period for the sun. So there are plenty of other countries out there that, on this issue, seem to be smarter than our administration.
Well, that's
not
saying a whole lot.
They know better.
Yeah, that's not really saying a lot, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that nobody is gonna follow a plan that is gonna cost
money and lives.
Exactly, and I guess I just don't get it. Why more people aren't stepping up and saying, "Hey, this is all BS," and let's.
Well, a lot of them have something at stake, and like I say, I have found it easier to talk to audiences and really get into the green side of the debate, because everybody can understand a garden, they can understand a plant,
food
crop. They know that CO2 is good for them because they all learned that in the third grade. It's easier to get the audience engaged like that so that they say, well, yeah, I agree with you on this and I agree with you on that, and that all makes common sense, and then go in after you've built up some contact with them and say, by the way, Earth needs more CO2 because for all the reasons I told you, but it is not having any significant impact on Earth's climate. If I start with that and start into, hey, we got 22 drivers of climate and blah, 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 of what's driving the climate, a lot of times they just turn off.
Yeah, they overload.
Walk out. They won't even listen. They say, well, you're some crazy kind of guy. You say, actually, Earth needs more carbon dioxide. And I say, yes, they do, because most plants and trees on Earth evolved on Earth when the carbon dioxide was much higher than it is now, 2,000-3,000 up to 4,000 parts per million higher than it is now, is when a lot of our trees, food crops, even grasses came in.
Well, I hope that people will go online, check out the webpage, wethepeopleradio.us. We owe Robert Extra a huge note of thanks here for putting that together. It's awesome. We have therightclimatestuff.com. We've got plantsneedco2.org. There's a really cool video. It's very fast. It's 2 minutes, and it shows large carbon dioxide versus small carbon dioxide on two plants simultaneous. It's a fun video with some really good facts. And lots of information about Mr. Leighton Stewart, our guest this morning. Thank you so much for spending the morning with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the invitation. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
That was great information. Great information. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
All right. guys and gals, we'll see you next week on We the People Radio with some mystery guest, because we haven't nailed that down yet.
This is Casey and R. Shasta Redding.
Where you've been listening to an encore presentation of We the People with Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff. Again, Aaron and Bill will be back live in their new time slot, 12 noon to 2 p.m. next Sunday and every Sunday. Keep listening here to Community Talk Radio for the North State, where Gun Talk is next. KCNR, Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Security officials in Egypt now say at least 20 people have been killed in a riot outside a major soccer game near Cairo. Three officials say some people died during a stampede while others died in clashes with police. Today's riot comes 3 years after similar violence killed 74 people. The nominee to be the next Secretary of Defense could be confirmed as early as the end of the week. We get details now from SRN's Linda Kenyon.
Senator John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, says nominee Ashton Carter could be voted out of the committee as soon as Tuesday and then expedited for a full Senate vote as soon as Wednesday or Thursday. Carter sailed through his confirmation hearing in the committee. He was grilled on several topics, including strategy to defeat ISIS, whether to provide weapons to Ukraine, and troop withdrawals from Afghanistan. If confirmed, Carter would replace outgoing Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. Linda Kenyon, SRN News, Capitol Hill.
Also at SRNNews.com.